Today we're going to start a three-part mini-series within the larger series on the promises of God. We're doing the promise of peace, and you don't want to miss out. So if you like what you hear today, invite everyone you know to come back next week and the week after that, because this three-part series is going to set you free to live out what I just declared is yours. You have the peace of God. It has been gifted to you through Jesus Christ and through the indwelling of the Spirit. Now, how do you actually persevere in the peace and live out the peace and experience the peace and then pass the peace to others? And that's what we're going to be looking at. Today, we're going to start with the vertical aspect of the peace of God. Next week, we're going to look at the internal part of the peace of God. And then the third message is going to be the external. Okay, so let's pray. Let's look at the scriptures. I'm going to lay out the outline, and then we're going to get right in. Lord Jesus, may everything that is spoken be of you. Crucify me so that none of Jerry, none of my flesh, none of my grandiose good old ideas come through, but may only your eternal word come through. Forgive me, Father, for when I fall short or stray, keep me in the easy yoke of Jesus so that I would walk side by side with Jesus, listening to him, giving his word to your people. And may we all find rest for our souls as we walk in this relationship with God that Jesus has given us. Come, Holy Spirit, our teacher. I am not the teacher. You are the teacher. Come and speak through me. Incarnate your word. Mediate your gospel through me. Oh Lord, I give you access. Use all of me, Lord. Open up the minds and hearts of these people. Amen. Amen. So, today we're going to look at the promise of peace, the peace that you have with God through Jesus. And the memory verse for today is John 14:27. So if you turn and open your scriptures to John 14, I'm going to read to you John 14:27 in its context. Now, the memory verse on your card says this: peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. That's the memory verse for today. Now, I want you to hear it in its context. So we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, the fourth book of the New Testament. We're going to look at chapter 14. Now, remember that John chapters 13 through 17 is right before Jesus' betrayal. So we are looking at the upper room. We're looking at right after Jesus put on the towel service. He washed the feet of his disciples. He instituted the Lord's Supper. And now here we are, John 14, and this beautiful teaching. I'm going to read to you 23 to 31. God's Word. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we," I love that, "we will come to him and make our abode, our dwelling place, our home with him." Verse 24, "He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine." Jesus is saying that the word he's giving is not his, but the Father's who sent me. Jesus only spoke that which the Father told him to speak. He only did that which the Father told him to do. That's what it means to be in the yoke. Jesus was in the yoke of his Father. He was submitted to the Father. Okay, verse 25. "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you," while remaining with you. Verse 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he," the Holy Spirit, "will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you." And then here's your memory verse. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Hear this, church. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens. Isn't it great that he told us this before it happened? Because nothing catches God by surprise. Everything that happened to Jesus in Jesus' life was a part of the Father's perfect plan. Now I have told you before it happens so that when it happens, you may believe. For I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, here it is, here's the yoke again, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here. And then it goes into the beautiful passage on the vine and the branches as Jesus takes his disciples from the upper room and they start walking to Gethsemane. And he's using these agricultural images around him to talk about the relationship we're to have with God through his relationship with God. That's what the cross did. You see, the cross gave us access to Jesus' relationship with the Father. It removed the stumbling block. It removed the enmity, the strife, the division between us and God, and restored the peace that we can have with God. See, that's what the vertical peace is all about. The vertical peace is about the restoration of relationship that we can have because Jesus took our sin from us and restored unto us an abiding or a right relationship with the Father. That's what we're going to talk about today. Next week, we're going to talk about the wholeness, the peace of mind and heart that can come from that. Because this peace we have with God is meant to bring peace within ourselves. So next week, we're going to talk a lot about wholeness. Today, we're talking about the holiness that we have because of Christ dwelling in us, because of the Holy Spirit baptizing us, because we are immersed in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then Paul says this in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, that we can be anxious for nothing because in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we can let our requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Which means, and this is come back next week to learn more about this, that means your holiness leads to wholeness. To be whole, sound of mind and heart. And then that leads, that same strife or enmity or division that Jesus took between us and the Father, he then removes that strife and that division between us and other people, and we are to pass the peace. And so the week after that, on the 24th, we're going to look at this verse, Ephesians 2:14. For Jesus himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Jesus removed the barrier between the people groups so that we can all be one in Christ as the body of Christ, as the church. The church knows no barriers with politics or with nation states, with social linguistic groups, with education, with finances, with anything that divides people. Jesus tears down the dividing wall so that in him we can be one, and we are to pass that peace. We are to bring that. That is the great commission to go, to bring it to all the peoples. You see, so we've got to understand vertically what Christ has done for us. Because if we don't do today, then everything else can simply be you trying to do either pop psychology next week or good works on your own power in the third week. Everything has to flow from the throne of grace. Because the river of God's grace starts at the throne. And we are conduits. We are conduits of the throne of grace. That's what we are. We are vessels. We are vehicles. We are cracked pots. We are not perfect. We make mistakes. We sin. We repent. We just like I was doing earlier. And then that causes us to then be usable because people can relate to us because we're still human. You see, peace with God is our salvation. I want you to hear that. Your salvation is peace with God. Your salvation is peace with God. And then your peace with yourself is your mental well-being, your emotional well-being, your relational well-being. And then that is your ministry. Your ministry has to flow out of that wholeness. Because you can't just say, I'm holy, therefore thou be holy through me. It's holy to wholeness flowing so that your love doesn't distort, doesn't twist. It's a love that invites into the wholeness that God offers through his holiness. And that's why your mental well-being and your emotional well-being is so, so important. We cannot ignore that. I consider these three aspects of God's promise of peace a cord of three strands. You know, I believe that your vertical peace with God, your holiness, your internal peace with God, your wholeness, and all these different aspects of well-being, and then the outflow of that and how you do relationships and how you do ministry, I believe those are a cord of three strands as we see in Ecclesiastes. And those cord of three strands cannot be torn asunder easily. But the problem is if you just bank upon some knowledge that I am saved, therefore, and then you don't work on these other aspects, then, oh, I mean, you see it all the time. Any given circumstance that doesn't go right, any given national or international crisis that doesn't seem to be right, just knocks someone off their high horse. We need to be humble and acknowledge that we need this cord of three strands in our life. We need this peace of God to anchor us deeply and to rule over us. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Did you know that your holiness is not what you do? Your holiness is what Christ has done for you. Your holiness is not what you do. Holiness is what Christ has done for you. And for far too long, the church has only focused on your manifestation of holiness, but they never talked about wholeness. So there was no mental health conversations. There was no relational health conversations. There was none of the aspects of humanity through which God incarnates his holiness. And so we had so many mixed messages, so many people declaring that holiness is how you dress or what you drink or don't drink. And yet they were mean people, not manifesting the love of God. And the church became known for what it was against. And gosh, it's got even worse politically as the church has unholy syncretized itself with governments around the world. We should take the example of Billy Graham, who proclaimed the gospel as that which set every people group free from every form of tyranny, which, by the way, tyranny is anytime you trust man to do only that which God will do, because even you yourself are a tyrant to your own life if you don't entrust your life to Jesus. I am my own worst taskmaster. I am my own worst critic. Oh, I had someone this last week say, Jerry, why don't you give yourself grace the same way you give everyone else grace? Man, because I need the Holy Spirit. Christ in me is the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that's what this whole passage about peace is about. The reason you don't need to fear is because the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. The reason you can take courage and be strong is because the Holy Spirit is in you. Because the God of all heaven and earth dwells in you and has made his abode in you and will give you the words to speak. He will give you everything you need for this day because his presence is sufficient. That's what grace is. Grace is the gift of his presence. You know what peace is? Peace is the gift of his presence. You know what joy is? Joy is the manifestation of the gift of his presence in you. It's not circumstantial. It's Christ in you. That's what patience is. That's what all the fruit of the Spirit are. Goodness and gentleness and kindness, faithfulness. Those are not things you muster up because you're saved. Therefore, I have to be a good boy or good girl now. And you get exhausted from trying to be a good boy, good girl because you're trying to do it in the flesh. The flesh cannot discipline the flesh. The Holy Spirit must crucify us. And that is your salvation. That is peace. Because peace is your wholeness in God. That's what shalom is, and I want to show you that. So we all know from Isaiah 9:6, because if you've been to any Christmas service, any Advent service, you know Isaiah 9:6, and that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Now, a couple other Old Testament verses real quick, just to give you this foundation. In Judges, which is the sixth book, of the Old Testament, Judges chapter 6, God is named peace. Listen to this real quick. Judges 6, 23 to 24, the Lord said to Gideon, "Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is Peace." Yahweh Shalom, Jehovah Shalom. God is peace. The Lord is peace. Shalom is not just an absence of conflict. It is God's presence in the midst of the circumstance. And see, that's what I want you to understand, is you have peace with God because the Lord who is peace, Jehovah Shalom, the God who is named the Prince of Peace, has made a way for you to have the God who is peace to live in you. And you have peace. You have peace. Now the question is, are you experiencing peace? Are you resting in peace? Because peace is the presence of God. Peace is not something you muster up through self-talk, through pop psychology. Peace is the manifestation of God in your circumstance, in your life, in your heart and mind. It is you walking in the easy yoke of Jesus. And then we hear in Isaiah, and then there's so many good passages here, just to name a few. These are not going to be on the board. Sorry, because I didn't give them to the media team. Sorry, guys. You're doing an awesome job up there. I wrote these on my page this morning as I was reviewing my message this morning. You can write these down. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 12. Isaiah 54, verse 10. Isaiah 66, verse 12. Just from that one book where we know that the Messiah would be called the Prince of Peace, we hear the prophet calling out to God's people and saying that God wants to establish a covenant of peace, that God wants to give peace to his people. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that. And that's the big point. For those of you who love to study the connections between the Old and New Testament, there are those scriptures, because Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise of peace. Okay, listen to this. John 16, 33. These should be on the board now, on the screen. John 16, 33. "These things I have spoken to you." This is the words of Jesus. "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace." Jesus is saying, "I have given you this message so that in me you may have peace." In Jesus you have peace. In Jesus you have peace. Where does peace come from? By being in Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You want the peace of Christ to rule over you? Then we need to submit to the one who is peace and allow him to come into our circumstances. So often, we want God's blessing upon our plans, but we're not taking the time to sit and listen to him for his plans. So we run ahead of him and we don't experience peace. That's called desolation. And when you experience desolation, then you know that God is not with you. You've run ahead, you've fallen behind, you've gone to the left or to the right. The reality is that God is inviting you to experience his peace, which we call consolation. You're being consoled by the Spirit of God. He's giving you a spirit of peace, of consolation, because he's with you. You sense his presence in that. And so when we don't have that, the opposite of that is we feel desolation. Like, things are wrong, things are off. I don't experience God in this moment. And that's why I encourage people moment by moment, day by day, to learn how to live in the easy yoke of Jesus so that you can start understanding the rhythm of consolation, the rhythm of peace, the rhythm of being in that relationship with God through prayer and Bible meditation, focusing upon the Lord, the word of the Lord, being with each other. That's why we gather. We gather in this rhythm so that we remember what it's like to be with the people of God, so that when we're separated, we know the distinction. We know that it's better to dwell in the house of the Lord with brothers and sisters than it is to be apart from him and to apart from one another. Okay, another scripture. Oh, and that one. Sorry, I didn't finish it. John 16, 33, "These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation." Thank you, Jesus. "But take courage. I have overcome the world." Wow. I actually taught this passage at our church picnic when I introduced this message to you. Because there's two promises about the promise of peace. One is, the world's going to give you nothing but trouble. But don't worry, don't fret, don't fear, because he's overcome the world. But in me, you can have peace. So can you expect trouble in your everyday lives? Yes. There is nothing about Christianity that says all your troubles of living in a fallen world are going to go away. That only leads to mental health crisis. That's pie in the sky, and it has other names. But the reality is that in Christ, I can have peace with God, peace with myself, and peace with others. When I learn to rest in the work of the Holy Spirit in me, who gives me those things, because it's not me who does it. Peace. Actually, you actually work against the promise of peace when you're the one trying to muster up peace. Because you can't make an idol out of the gift. You must keep only the gift giver on the throne. If you want joy to be the center of your life, you're going to be miserable. If you want your marriage to be happy, and that's more important to you than it being holy, then you're going to destroy it. You must worship the gift giver over the gifts. And that includes your experiences of peace and joy. That's why holiness is so paramount. Because holiness is learning to rest in what Christ has given you. His right standing with God is a gift given to you. Rest in that. Focus on that. And all these other things will be added unto you. The fruit of the Spirit will manifest. Because the Holy Spirit has you when you're resting in Him. Does that make sense? You want to make financial security the goal of the last 40 years of your life? You are going to destroy your life. And you'll never have enough. And you'll always feel insecure. And you'll hoard and you won't be a generous person. We must learn to seek first the kingdom and His righteousness and trust Him to add all these other things to us in every area of our life. And I think peace is paramount in today's culture because we have a mental health crisis. And the church cannot demonize that. We must understand that mental health and relational wholeness comes from Christ. And we can become conduits of that peace and of that health and give it to others. And when we struggle with that ourselves, we don't condemn one another. We don't shame one another. We don't demonize one another. We embrace one another and said, let's walk together through this because sometimes it's okay to not be okay. Let's walk together and learn how to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Let's learn how to keep our eyes on Jesus. Colossians 1, 19 to 22. I love this passage. Paul said, this is one of Paul's letters, so it's in the New Testament. This is a powerful passage about the peace of God and what it really is. I want you to really take time this week to meditate upon this verse. Study it. Hide it in your heart. Colossians 1, 19 to 22. Oh, it starts so beautifully. I love my Father. I love my Father in heaven. He's so good. For it was the Father's good pleasure. Oh, wow. It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Jesus. And through Jesus to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace. See, it was the Father's good pleasure to have His fullness of deity dwelling in Jesus so that through Jesus we may have peace. This is why Jesus came. And it was the Father's good pleasure to put His fullness in Jesus so that we can have peace with the Father through the Son. It's the plan of the Father. It's the provision of the Son. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Your salvation is Trinitarian. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And your salvation is you dwelling right there in the center of that loving, eternal relationship of God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll never be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus because you are in fellowship with the God who sent His Son to save you and sent His Son to seal you for the day of salvation. That is your salvation. That is the glory of Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and coming again to finish that which His Father sent Him to do, which is to bring peace to all things, to complete it all. Oh man, come Lord Jesus. Hasten the day of the Lord. Here it is. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Jesus to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? What does a guy who died 2,000 years ago have to do with me today? It means everything, because it's the blood and the cross that atoned for sin, that once and for all took the judgment and the anger and the wrath of God onto Jesus, so that we may receive the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, the right relationship with God, the peace of God. That's why Jesus died, to satisfy his Father's will, so that we may make our abode in him and he may make his dwelling place in us. That's peace. Everything else flows from that. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through Jesus to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you, that's us, although we, all y'all, me, although I, Jerry, although you, put your name there, although we were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yes, Lord, it was true, please, thank you for your forgiveness. Verse 22, yet, he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order, why, to present you before him, here it is, holy, blameless, beyond reproach. Oh, he has imputed, he has transferred onto you, he has taken the sin out of your account, he's taken all that causes you to deserve death and wrath, he's taken that out of your account, and he's given you all of his right standing, so that when he looks upon you, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ covering your sin, and because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit baptizing you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, he only sees the perfect submission of his Son. He only sees Jesus, because the blood has covered your sin. You are forgiven, and you have peace with God. This is the source. This is the ground well from which all goodness flows. This is why you can have peace of mind. This is why you can have peace with your neighbor. This is why we are the hope of the nations, because we have become reconciled to the one who is the peace of the nations. Jehovah Shalom is his name. The Lord is my peace is his name. The Prince of Peace is the one I bow my knee to, and I submit myself to, and I work for. Man, this is a powerful passage. Powerful. And then here's another one. Because I want you to hear God's word. I want you this week to know how much your Father in heaven loves you. I want you to have a living, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who has given you peace with the Father. And I want you to be dependent moment by moment upon the Holy Spirit and his power in your life for everything you need for life and godliness. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. Listen to this. I'm going to actually probably read all the way to verse 10, because it's so good. I hope you've come here to be encouraged and lifted up through the word of God. May his Spirit open up your ears to this truth. Listen to Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, that is your salvation, that is you putting your faith and hope in everything we just talked about, in the work of the cross, it's done. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Where does your peace come from? There's only one answer to that question. It's not your circumstances. It's not your bank accounts. Not the health of your relationship currently. It's not whether you're getting paid enough or treated with respect enough. It's none of that. We've got to stop making our peace of mind about everything else. We're going to talk a lot about that next week, but we've got to understand this. Maybe it's a theoretical thing. Maybe it's just a doctrinal thing for you right now. Maybe this is just kind of like, it's so far out there, I don't know how this applies. So I want to invite you to keep having this conversation, not just with me in this format, but come to Bible study tomorrow at noon. Talk to each other about this. Study this, because I believe this is an answer that our culture needs. This is the relevancy point of the church right now. We can bring wholeness and peace to a culture that's so restless, so irritable, so discontent. We have the solution. We don't need to talk about the problem. We have the solution. The problems, everyone's talking about the problems. Who's talking about the solution? I am. I hope you are too. That's all I'm talking about. All I'm talking about is the solution. All I'm talking about is Jesus, because he's the only hope. I'm not going to waste my breath talking about anything else. You want to talk about something else? There's a 10 billion or 7 billion people out there who want to talk about everything else. I want to talk about Jesus with you. And I want you to talk about Jesus, because he's your hope. He's the source. And I will show you next week the discipline of that is the answer. Even if that feels a little pie in the sky, far-fetched right now, don't quit on me. Don't bail before the blessing. There's good news. There's good news in applying the Word of God to your life. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope to the glory of God. Man, that's good. That's worth memorizing. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. Oh, man, this is getting tough. Romans 5. Jesus talked about tribulations. He said the world will be full of them, but don't worry, I've overcome it. Don't let your heart be seduced away from peace. Did you know you're being seduced? Every time you lose peace, you're being seduced by the devil. You need to forsake the devil. You need to renounce the world, and you need to submit to Jesus. Every time. It's a sanctification moment. You lose your peace. It's the invitation of the Holy Spirit to return to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Every time you lose your peace of mind, it's an invitation of the Holy Spirit to return to Jesus. It's not condemnation. It's not shame. It's not you being a bad person. It's God inviting you back. It's God inviting you to return. Did you know that the singular, most prominent message of all the prophets in the Old Testament was return to me? Return to me. Return to me. That's what the prophets were saying to Israel. Wow, my God. Okay. You know, return to me. Return to me. Return to me. Do you know that's the single most prevalent message? Peace. Peace is return to me. Return to me. Jesus said peace all the time. Peace. Return to me. Return to me. You're not experiencing peace? Then hear the word of the prophet. Return to me. Not only this, we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within the hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot persevere in our faith. We need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to sustain us through every circumstance of our life. We need to learn to cultivate an awareness of the activation of the Spirit's gifts and ministry within us. For then it says, verse 6, for while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Hello, that's me. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God, oh, this is a great verse, man. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Man, this is good news. This Bible is practical. This Bible is filled with good news. And I pray that you will write down the references I've given you today. I pray that you will study, that you'll go back and listen to this video, and that you will understand the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you have peace with God because of Jesus' great love to die on the cross for your sins. And why does that matter? Because God can't dwell in you if you have sin. That sin has to be taken from you. And that's what Jesus does once for all. And when you put your faith in him, you are born again. You are filled with the Spirit. And the big word is regeneration. You are born again. You are brought to new life. And that new life includes peace of mind and heart. And now, as you receive that gift of Jesus Christ, I want you not only to have a sufficient faith, a saving faith, I want you to have a persevering faith. It's not enough for Baptists or Christians or Pentecostals or Presbyterians or Episcopals or you name the brand to say they're saved. I want you to have a persevering faith that causes you to manifest the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Because we can all have different nuances of doctrine, but this one thing, Christ crucified, risen, and coming again, is our doctrine, is our belief. And in that, through that faith, the Holy Spirit gives us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything, including peace. Peace of mind. Peace of mind. If you're not experiencing that peace of mind, I invite you this morning, I want you to pray this with me from Colossians 3. This is where I'm going to end this morning, and then next week we'll start back up. If you're not experiencing peace of mind, then I'm going to invite you to pray this simple prayer from Colossians 3, verses 14. Bless you. Love you. The Lord loves you. Colossians chapter 3. Read a couple verses here, and I want to pray this over you, and I want you to receive Jesus today. Today's the day of salvation. I want you to, if you're not experiencing peace with God, and that's manifesting in a whole lot of ways in your life, then I want you to start this week. I want you to go through this journey with me each week. I just want you to take the right steps, okay? Even if you think that you are already right with God, if you're not manifesting that and you're not experiencing the manifestation of that peace, I just want you to step with me these 3 weeks. I want you to start today, and we're not going to make a big show of it. I'm not going to do anything that could potentially try to manipulate you. I just need you where you are, whether you're listening online or you're here. Now, obviously, the prayer stairs are open. You come up, and I'll pray with you. I'll anoint you with oil, and yes, there is favor in that place, but I don't want you in any way. I want to meet the introverts as well as the extroverts. I want to meet the type A's and the type B's and every other type. I just want you to receive Jesus. Because here's the deal. What I'm about to pray for you, in many ways, is the litmus test of your submission to Christ. Because Christ died for your sins so that you can be freed from your sin to live for him. Listen to Paul's words in Colossians 3. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Whatever rules your heart is the Lord of your life. What is ruling your heart? If it's not Jesus, then you're in tyranny. And you're in chaos. And you're far from God. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Lord Jesus, that is my prayer. Oh Lord, I want nothing more than every person within the sound of my voice, Lord God, to have the shalom of Jehovah, the peace of God. I want nothing more than the Prince of Peace, the Messiah of Israel, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, to be your Lord, your Savior. And Paul prays for us, exhorts us, and admonishes us that it is the peace of Christ which should rule our heart. This is the love of the Father for his children who are weary and heavy burdened, who are lost and distracted, in a world ruled by Satan, in a body ruled by the flesh. You're invited to renounce all these other rulers, to break every other yoke, and to come to Jesus and let the peace of God that transcends all human understanding, the peace of God that is only possible through the provision of the Son and the power of the indwelling Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I invite you now to submit your life to Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, so that he may make his dwelling place in you, and you may receive eternal life. Come now. Come now, all, and receive the gospel. You may come forward and confess your great need for his rule over your mind and heart. You may sit where you are, wherever you may be within the sound of my voice. You may get on your knees, you may stand, you may fall flat on your face. However you respond, respond to the Prince of Peace and ask him to rule your heart. May all their idols be forsaken. May all other false worship be cast out. Crucify, Father. Crucify all that threatens to rule. Come, Lord Jesus. Make your dwelling place in us.